Right.
Well, before Sam gets up here to start Sunday school, the suffering for the glory of God, we wanted to give a 5-minute, hopefully quickly, report on our trip to Cuiabá. Cuiabá. Yeah, whenever I said any word in Portuguese, they laughed at me. And then Nick laughed at them laughing at me.
It was every time, actually. It was funny. He would say thank you, which is obrigado in Portuguese, but they just take the O off, so they say brigado. And so Johnny kind of went with it, and he would say brigado. And they just go. Every time. It was beautiful.
So a couple quick pictures.
Yeah.
We got to go to the Ligonier Conference with the pastors before. That's where we left from, actually. We skipped out right when the question and answer session was leaving. So it kind of felt like we were sent by like Moeller and Lawson, as well as our church. And there's a Statue of Liberty there, too, which was kind of amusing in Cuiabá. Nick took a picture, I think, here. This was we flew from Harrisburg to D.C. to Sao Paulo to Cuiabá. So that was coming into Sao Paulo, which is just mammoth, the city.
You can't really see, but there was like, just from that view, there's probably 40 soccer fields. and we wonder why we can't compete in the World Cup.
And they were all being used.
Yeah, everything from dirt to grass to turf to concrete. It was really cool, and they all had, so that was why I took the picture, but I realized you couldn't see any of it. Then our hotel, which in the providence of God was called the Golden Tulip. Amen. We were picked up at the airport by the chief of police in Cuiabá, and he's also a pastor at this church, which I forget, what was the name of that church, do you remember?
Something Baptista.
Yeah, it was a Baptist church. It was really funny. We go in and we meet the pastor, and we had tried some Portuguese with him, and they said, okay, you try some English. And he said, no, we're Baptist. We don't speak in tongues. So I immediately loved that guy. It was really nice. So we worshiped with everybody there. We couldn't hear the message in English, but they were singing songs, and just, you know, it just delights your heart to just worship with the people of God, even though obviously we didn't understand what was going on. They actually brought us up on stage after and prayed for us and prayed for our week in English. It was just a special time. Here's the seminary, guarded by electrical fence and a large mechanical door. It wasn't too fancy. It was just real basic. They have people who live there full time or work there, administrators. And then students, and then I don't know if they house some people. It seemed like some of the women might have just been living there. Wasn't quite sure how that all worked. So this is the library on the top floor. They had a ton of really good books. They had a lot of really bad books too, but they had some just tons of resources, but they're all old and kind of depleted. So, you know, that's something that maybe as a church we could think about, you know, helping in the future, potentially. But it was really, all the books were kind of like falling apart. So here you have in the top left, Peter Brock. He's teaching. You have Cody listening intently, and Johnny tirelessly studying, as he tends to do, and me just enjoying the moment. The portions that I taught on was scripture memorization, meditation, patience, purity, and church history, and some of the modern missionary movement, which it was just an awesome time for me. You see here on the right, this was the best interpreter we had. We had three different interpreters. This guy, Alberto, he's actually a Presbyterian, which was, we were really hoping that Johnny, when he was teaching on baptism, would have Alberto as his translator. It didn't work out that way. And then down here on the bottom left, sitting down, the larger fella, that's Josias. Just great brothers. Just very encouraging for us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Johnny. What did you teach
about? Well, so yeah, Nick started every morning on the heart portion, and then I ended every day on the ordinances, which is the hands portion. And then we both taught on church history, as well as Cody and Peter taught on church history. So Nick and I had the bulk of the teaching, and we kind of split up the church history evenly. And the translators were really good. I think we mentioned this in our update. Like Nick said, going there, oh, he's like, it's, you know, we don't really need that much material with the translation. It's going to take a while. And like, I blew through like over half of my material the first day, and I was like, I better get studying. It's like, I'm going to need to beef this up.
Yeah.
But the more really questions, good. Yeah.
They were really good. We would say words, it was funny, common words they wouldn't get, but words like propitiation, they were like, yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
Like, all right, great. I'm glad you know that. But what about pilgrimage?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know things like that, journeys. And
right, yeah.
So,
or phrases, like I tried to use straw that breaks the camel back, and he's like, just looked at me like,
yeah, it was
I was
funny.
Off my rocker.
Well, they gave us the Portuguese one, and we like, can't say it, but it was something like the drop of water that overflows the cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. So we're hoping that what we portrayed to them, they transmitted to the people. We're pretty confident they did, though. There's me getting excited, as
yeah.
I usually do. Johnny, also excited. He was trying to do his best Steve Lawson impression
right, yes.
the whole week. It was very powerful. This guy on the left, Nilton, he's sat right in the front row the whole time, just super encouraging. This other fella, he thought he was really good at soccer. Another great guy. So just some good folks down there. Each one of these, the men, are pastors in one of the surrounding towns. Some of the people traveled like 700 kilometers to get there. That's quite a ways. That fellow who I said was poor at soccer, they all told me he was like unbelievable. So I figured I'd add that.
Yeah. So Nick just told him all week he was terrible.
Yeah, just beat him down a little bit. Just like,
kept challenging him.
Yeah, it was just a healthy challenge. This was our other translator who just learned English this year.
He started learning English in March, he said.
In March.
And he was phenomenal.
Yeah. Very astute. He was writing down words if he wasn't quite sure. It's like, well, how do you say that? What's that word? So he can go back for further study. I said, what do you do for fun? He's like, I'm learning Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay.
But those are better pictures of the two guys. On the left are Cody and Peter.
Yep, Cody Cunningham, who's a pastor in Mississippi, and Peter Brock, who's full-time at Reaching and Teaching.
Yeah. So they're both full-time at Reaching and Teaching.
Oh.
But Cody is a lay pastor in New Orleans at a church plant. They have about 100 people that attend a week. They're mostly really poor. So then again, you could see Cody and Peter.
Nilton
gave us a gift.
Yep. So. A little guitar. And then this couple, the husband's a pastor and the wife's a missionary. From what I understood, they brought us like local fish carved out of wood. Paku was the name of the fish Johnny and I got. And since we started with a Ligonier question and answer session, we decided to end one, Ligonier style, at the week of teaching. And so the second half of the last day we were there, we just took questions and tried to give answers. That was a good time. There was a little bit of disagreement amongst the group with the answers, so I thought that was healthy.
Yeah. Most of them we agree, but a couple of them were like, yeah.
Me and Johnny agreed on everything.
Yeah.
Go figure.
But the other guys are solid Reformed Baptists.
Yep, they're really good.
This was at least two were still there when we took the picture when we left. Some people had already left early.
Right. And there was a bunch of people that kind of came for a couple days during the week. There's a smaller fella, his name was Limber, who kind of led us in worship each day, and Johnny and I learned a song.
Nick's going to do it.
I'm not going to do that for you. I do have videos if you want to see it of the people singing. We just couldn't get him in here. And this is the last day, the four of us together. So this is the vehicle Johnny and I rode into town with. It had the bare necessities, to say. And it's rather hot down there. There's also where we ate, where we were going to eat. And decided that probably wasn't that safe, so we went to Subway instead. But each day they fed us, and this is what they fed us. Rice, beans, fresh vegetables, meat. It was fantastic. You always worry when you go to different places in the world what kind of you know, foods you're going to be eating. Are they a little adventurous? Are they healthy? Are they safe? And this was all of those things and more. It was excellent. There's Josias, a little fun we were having. And then that picture of that animal, Limber, when he arrived home, he said, look who's greeting me. So when he got back to Peru, that's what he sent me, that picture of whatever kind of animal that is, a giant groundhog.
Something. Whoops, sorry.
Yeah.
I meant.
Yeah. And that, this was the last picture Johnny and I took together on our trip. It was our last flight, letting our wives know we're almost home. And then I took this picture of Stephen Nichols. But if you notice that handsome man in the background, that I get to keep forever. So, best photo bomb of the week by far. But really, we just want to thank you guys for sending us to Cuiabá. The influence it had in my own heart was just tremendous. And we know that, you know, what we were teaching them and the individuals that were there were going to, you know, they were really receptive, and they're going to take what we were teaching and go and teach that to their churches all over, you know, that region of Mato Grosso. So thank you for that opportunity. It was such a privilege. Johnny, yeah. Anything else?
Any questions?
Anybody have any questions on anything? They did say this was one of the more cushy assignments in terms of you got to sleep in a hotel with air conditioning. Whereas a lot of, like Peter's, like, you know, when he was in Ecuador, he's like, well, it's like you had to take a boat on a river at night, and, you know, it's hot all week. And there it was.
The African ones, too, as well. I'm assuming the Indian ones.
Yeah. So Peter's job there is he's in charge of all their long-term missionaries, just helping them with logistics, and his wife is in charge of their women's discipleship program, trying to get that more streamlined. And then Cody's job for reaching and teaching is he's in charge of developing sites in Africa. And again, they're both stateside, and yeah, Cody's a pastor as well in New Orleans. But thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, Sam.
These guys all had other jobs.
I think some of them did, but most of them were actually full-time pastors. It was neat. We asked, you know, how many of your pastors? I mean, everybody's hands are up. How many, you know, they're all, I mean, full-time. And they come in because this is what they would sit. One of the guys said, this is the best teaching he has received. You know, not ours, but the whole, you know, the module style from reaching and teaching. They did a session prior to us and then this session. And he's, you know, he just couldn't wait to come back and get more.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, I mean, we mentioned it last time, but there's 9 one-week modules that they go through trying to just cover everything systematically.
Yeah, over the course of 3 years, right?
Yeah, three 1 week, or three a year for a week for 3 years. Our first translator, Aldoberto, just said this is really good for these guys, and the pastor that picked us up said that as well. This is really helpful for them just to have something, you know, laid out for them that this is the important stuff for you to pass on.
And there's just a ton of error, too, going on there. So you have a really weird brand of Catholicism, very syncretized with animism due to the Spanish conquest of the Americas and that craziness and conquering the Incans and all that. So the Catholicism down there is much different than we experience here. So they're kind of battling that. And then you've got a rise in Protestantism, but you have the rise of Pentecostalism, and it's like far, far off Pentecostalism. So they're battling with like dominion theology. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, where it's like the people of God are going to take over, whether by force or not. So they're really just the new Spanish, really, Spanish Catholics. And so they're battling that kind of a brand of Pentecostalism, and then you've got the Word Faith movement and the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. And so they're kind of caught in the middle. The Orthodox Christians are kind of fighting on all fronts. So giving them Orthodox teaching and real practical things to work on, and like the Lord's Supper, and like why do we administer it this way, and how, and knowing the reasons behind stuff is really beneficial for them. Not as much. During the downtime, it was more like we were still trying to answer maybe some individual questions. Mm-hmm. And so while we did spend a lot of time with them, it was most of the time we're just feeding them through a fire hose. And so they would come up, and we didn't have as much time to interact with, how many people are in their churches, what's going on, what style is it. Not as much information as we want to, because there's only one translator each day. So, there's so many people, and that person was usually, fixing some, maybe somebody misunderstood something or something along those lines, So it was a little bit more difficult to get out of them. Anybody else? No? Thanks. Okay. Sam?
Before Sam takes over, let's join our hearts together to thank God especially for the things we've heard just now. And Lord, we do lift our hearts with thanksgiving and praise. We feel a little like we have gone to be in that place and to see the things going on and to be encouraged by the work that you're doing. Thank you for Nick and Johnny being able to go, and thank you for the strength you gave them. Thank you for the ability to keep studying even while they were there, because of the demand and because of the opportunity. Thank you for each pastor that came. Thank you for the things they carried away with them. We pray that they'll become a part of their thinking and really establish them, help them be more fruitful to the works they serve. We do pray for the translators, that you'll encourage them and help them. And Lord, as they may have other responsibilities during the year and different things, we pray you'll use them for your glory. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with the people that organize this. Would you encourage them and cause them to continue to plan things for the future and to have a heart to reach out to people in that particular kind of situation, cut off from theological education and yet needing to minister the word. We pray, Lord, that you will provide for all those that have a heart to learn and grow and lack much of the access that we have to really good things. We do thank you for Johnny going and Nick, and thank you that they didn't get sick and they didn't have calamities. Lord, we look to you as the one who protects us and guards us and rebukes the devourer and helps us. And we do pray you'll bless the ministry in every way and cause it to prosper, cause that area to grow wonderfully because of that influx that Johnny and Nick were able to bring. We pray your blessing, and we thank you for helping us to be a part of it. We do feel honored to have been able to go, and we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.